Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hot to Miss on Islands feed, where we are talking about Too Hot to Handle on Netflix season 4. This podcast is going to cover episodes 2 through 5 of season 4. So if you have not watched and you plan to watch, you should back out now. But if you don't plan to watch, that's fine. We've got you covered. We are covering everything. I'm, of course, Kirsten McInnes, and I'm joined by a great panel to talk about these episodes. First of all, we've got my co-host on the Love Island USA podcast. He is talking about the challenge over on the Dom and Colin podcast. And he's also popping up everywhere online, especially on Twitter. Brian Scally is here. Scally, how are you?
Oh, hello. Hello. I'm good. Glad to have refocused my Love Island energy over here towards Too Hot to Handle. Always a treat to jump in on a season of Too Hot to Handle. And this one's no different for sure.
Yeah, I literally can't remember if this is the second Too Hot to Handle in 2022 or if it's not. Like, season 3
feels like the third.
Well, but that's when you take into account the Real Love Boat and Temptation Island and Love Island. Like, I've been on a lot of islands, so it's fair that I get confused.
It's fair.
But we are not alone. We do have someone else joining us, another great guest. He is the host of the Hot Mess Express over on the 90 Day Fiancé feed. He is the co-host of the Masked Singer coverage. He's all over Twitch. Pooya is here. Pooya, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm back to talk about a show where people stare at each other in a sexual manner. We call that penalized. Nice. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So are you going to be the mall cop of this podcast?
Probably, right? Are the three of us? I feel like I've got the more like, what's going on over here? Let's not do that.
Actually, I don't know. Me and Scally like to know what's going on.
It's true. Yeah, but I'm also usually encouraging bad behavior. So
that's true.
Scally's an instigator and a half. Let's be real.
Lose the money.
Yeah, Scally would be on this show in the confessional like, they're all horny devils and I love it.
Oh my God.
Did you notice that they call each other horny devils a lot this season?
I have noticed that. I feel like, I don't know who's feeding them these lines.
Sorry, trigger warning for Jenny Autumn. I'm trying to get her to watch so she'll come on next week. And I'm concerned about how much they're unironically calling themselves horny.
Yeah, it's definitely most popular word of the season for sure.
Yuck. Pooya, what did you think of this first batch of episodes?
I mean, it's standard Too Hot to Handle fare, right? We got the thing they've been running with where it's this ultimate fake show that really, I'm sorry, there is not that many people who they see a air freshener and like, all right, that's Lana. Now I can't have sex. I've been cucked. I don't think that's happening.
See, I have a theory on it, Pooya.
What is it? Hit me with
it. So my theory is that they don't know they're going on Too Hot to Handle, but that they're given very few things to watch while they're in sequester. And one of those is Too Hot to Handle. So they like have recognition of the show, but it's only because they had nothing else to do while they were waiting to be on this show.
So do you reckon they're like, well, this is a Netflix production. They've given me these like three shows to watch: Love is Blind, Too Hot to Handle, and like some like the ultimatum. And then that's what they've got to binge or, you know, episodes of, and then they have a better idea of what it is.
Yeah, that's my new theory.
Yeah, okay. They better not give them the first episode where every time they have the plan.
Yeah, no, don't episode don't 4 know. And 5 only.
Yeah, listen, don't show them episode 1 where they're all tricked every time into being on a fake episode. The people on the
show are not the smartest in the world, okay? I think that they'd be like, "Wow, must suck to be these people. I would never get fooled like that." And then they do.
I could believe that on the egos. I don't know. I feel like I'm enjoying this cast. I feel like a generally maybe a little more of an attractive cast than usual for Too Hot to Handle. I feel like I could see most of this cast on Love Island, which is where they probably tried to be before ending up here. So I feel like standards are raised. The personalities are here. I'm enjoying so far.
Yes, very. There's a couple of them that I don't think are that hot, but other than
listen, there's a lot of attractive people, and then there's Creed. Okay.
I would put Nick in the same category as Greed.
Oh my God. They're someone's type.
Yeah, just not mine.
Well, then that's fine.
And also, of course, Seb getting major minus points for me just from his name alone.
Oh, I can see why.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there. It is tough out there. But so going back to the start of this batch, it feels like it's in a different world. So just to recap from the episode one coverage that I did over on Nothing But Netflix with Robin Chappelle, basically everyone was obsessed with Kayla, but Kayla and Nigel seemed to be the couple of all couples. Doesn't last long, but that's where we were to start. And Seb was kind of like, let me shift gears. Let me go for Jawa here. And
remember those couplings?
Yeah, it's so weird. That's the problem with these Netflix batch shows is that by the time you finish one batch, you are like, where were we? Like, it's a different universe from the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like they could look at, let's say, a Love Island format and drop them daily. But no, in terms of these batches, I feel like we get established like who most of the main characters are like pretty early on. Obviously, mm-hmm. they'll be shifting around like who they are in terms of couples. But Nigel and Kayla definitely start off strong.
If Too Hot to Handle starts doing daily episode drops, Scally, you are covering them with me. Sorry.
See about that.
It'll be what, done in 10 days? I don't think that's that bad.
Yeah. I think if it was daily drops, it'd be more than 10 episodes.
Oh, you think they'd up the ante there?
Yeah, I think they would put more filler in.
Then batch is fine. Yeah. Then I'm okay with the batch. Yeah,
let's keep it with the batch. It's okay. The theme of the first episode, the episode's called There's Something About Nigel, and Lana is watching all of the singles to see who is playing the field the most, and it seems to be Nigel because he is talking to Dominique, Kayla, and Jawahir all in very quick succession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was there any doubt? I feel like as soon as they said this, like, we don't need to watch. We know it's Nigel.
To me, it could have been Kayla because Kayla was really talking about keeping her options open in episode one. And then it instantly shifted to, okay, no, Nigel's still talking to all the women.
It felt less like Kayla was playing the field and more like the field was obsessed with Kayla. So I wasn't quite there. I thought like they probably wanted us to think that, but I didn't know how much Kayla was like actively playing.
Kayla lets them come to her is the vibe I'm getting as well. So Lana gets Nigel to pick one person to go on a date with. And Lana says this is like a binding choice to be in a relationship with someone, which I didn't realize going on one date after 2 days of knowing someone was legally binding, but apparently it is. And so he takes Kayla on a date.
Yeah, that ended up going real nice. Very, very nice.
The reason why I even wanted to talk about the date is because at the start, Kayla says, I like your vibe, chest out. And we pan over to Nigel and he has maximum two buttons at the bottom of his shirt done up. And he's basically nude from the waist up. And I thought it looked really funny.
I mean, rather than how he was actually nude in front of Jawa here like a second ago. So, people changing in front of each other, showering in front of each other. I think that like this was the most clothes that pretty much anyone had on at this point.
That's true. And Nigel also is like bringing up that he's a Scorpio yet again. And I think I like astrology, but I think when a straight man is too into astrology, that's a red flag.
What does a Scorpio mean?
So Scorpio is like very intense, very passionate, very mysterious. They will be vengeful. When they pick someone, like they pick someone, but oftentimes we hear about Scorpio as kind of being a little bit of a fuck boy.
Ew. Okay. Well, if the star fits.
I feel like Scorpio and Gemini are the two signs that get like the most hate. And so it's weird that he's pushing that he's a Scorpio so much when that's like one of the least popular signs. That's not like my personal opinion on Scorpios, just for the record. It's just like in general, people tend to have feelings about them.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in these early episodes, Nigel is going around openly claiming to be a player. So I think that he will take negative, names on himself very frequently.
He's fine with it.
He'll take any attention he can. He wants to be naughty Nigel. It's so weird. So during
that's worse than horny. Naughty. That's worse than horny to me. Say horny.
He's easy. On the naughty list.
What are we, six? No.
There's a lot of naughty in this also. Maybe the second most used word.
Yeah, it's all from Nigel.
You got a lot of screen time.
Like, horny is the word most used, and the naughty is the second most. But only Nigel says naughty, and everyone says horny. So while this date is happening, Jawahir is sitting on the deck, eagle eyes, watching the date. She wants to see what happens. She is very concerned. And Nick, who has been meditating the whole time they've been there, is like, now is my moment to talk to Jawahir.
I feel like the show has quickly figured out, kind of, you know how we've dogged Big Brother for years for, you know, casting specific person to fit specific role. Every season now we've got a guy who's a little bit more maybe airheaded, a little more granola-y, and he fits that. We've got the protector of the money. It's like, I don't know, because I didn't really feel anything from Nick, and I watched 5 episodes of him, is how I felt.
It's really, you're totally right on the archetype here, but I think this is the first time we're seeing the more, like, quote, spiritual guy on the cast actually have a connection with someone, and I do think that is interesting, because it is something new, and I think this is also the first time that we're seeing the, like, protector of the money also having a bit of a romantic connection, which is what is keeping this season, I think, new.
Listen, you say romantic, I say eyes on the prize is how it feels.
Yeah, the thing is like, it should be a romantic connection, but it's not because he's so obsessed with the money, which you're not going to win because you're not growing as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that Jawahir is like, I'm busy stalking someone right now. Can you come pay attention to me later? But
and Nick is like, no, I'm going to break your shell.
Yeah, Rob was right. And like Puya said, like, Too Hot to Handle loves this casting type. I would say Netflix as a whole loves this casting type of Nick. But Nick is maybe the first successful version of this
Netflix. I agree completely. And I hate to say this. I hate to say this. But they're really cute.
Yeah. I'm enjoying them together, and I feel like this is just like the start. Once he's like singing to her, I was still cringing a little bit, but
it was cringy, yes, but he actually had a decent singing voice too. Yeah. Like, I feel like we've seen people sing on this show, like Bryce in season 1 and whatever that guy in season 3 was named. and it's always awkward because they're bad, but he actually did have a decent enough singing voice. And so maybe it's the Ed Sheeran effect. I don't know, you give someone musical talent and they become hot, but I thought they were very cute and they kiss.
Yeah, it gets the pass for me because an acoustic guitar was not involved. I was okay with the guitar not being. If there was a guitar, I don't think I could have sat through it. Well, they wouldn't have had a keyboard on hand.
They had a keyboard for Bryce in season 1.
I choose to forget about Boatman Bryce, okay?
Well, you remember that he lives on a boat, so.
Well, that's the only thing I remember from him. That and he was supposed to be in a boxing match that never happened.
Mm. Oh, I forgot. I didn't know he was going to be in a boxing match. With who?
I don't remember, but it was supposed to be the sequel to the reality TV fights that never happened.
Oh, yes, I know. I could have boxed in that as well if I wanted.
Oh, missed opportunity.
It would have been huge for my future to do this, but I chose not to. I did laugh when Nigel and Jawahir kiss because Nigel and Kayla also kiss on their date. And I was like, wow, Seb is getting cucked twice at once.
Yeah, Seb, things are looking, not so great for him at this point in the show for sure.
Wow.
It feels like. Even like he and Jawahir were both like, wow, we're each other's second options. And I guess this works.
Yeah, good for them, I guess. So after the date, Nigel goes straight to Dominique and is like, I like you. You're the one I want to be with. A bold choice.
Yeah, that was what was really weird is he's like, I don't know what I want, but I know who I want. It was like, wait, what?
And,
like,
and she goes, oh, you like Kayla? And he's like, no, you. So weird.
Yeah, the minute you've kissed someone, maybe you wait a full 24 hours before you pull something like this off, because that's never going to work.
At least 24 minutes.
Well, it would have been fine if he actually like meant it. But like later he's like, oh, actually, like, why is Kayla in someone else's bed? Like, I'm upset. Like, so your mind was not made up then, in fact. Like, if he kissed Kayla and was like, oh, there's nothing here, actually, I want Dominique. Fine. But that's not true.
No, he just wants to be in charge. I also think that maybe he did like Dominique the best, but because all of the other men wanted Kayla, he wanted to prove he could get her.
Sounds right.
I do think that's a big part of it. Like, even when he first talked to her, he was like, let's show them who like the top dog is. So we get our first Lana meeting to go over rule breaks. There are three kisses that each cost $3,000. First, Nick admits that it was him and Jawahir, and he is like claiming her, like he really likes her, and I thought that it was very cute.
Yeah, he was like announcing their relationship to the like to the public, yes, to the villa. Like, exactly. Oh, we're guys, we are betrothed.
Yeah, this Jawahir is like, oh. And then Seb admits to also kissing Jawahir, and Nick says the line "nice guys finish last every time," which is just so gross. Like, shut up, Nick.
Yeah.
That was like, maybe cool if you had talked to Jawahir in the first 2 days.
Where do you think Nick is hiding his fedora?
I think that he actually is probably more of like, I could see him wearing one of those like old man hats that has like the small brim. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a flat cap.
Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah.
Just because he's like not like other guys.
Oh, God.
Like, I think that's what he would say, obviously. Not, I wouldn't say. I think he's sure, like a lot of guys.
You said it.
I think he's like a lot of guys who've been on this show.
Yeah, so does Netflix.
So then we find out there's still one more kiss, and Jawahir is literally thrilled that somebody else breached so that she's not the only one getting shit. And Kayla admits that it was her and Nigel. Dominique is pissed because Nigel's clearly a fuckboy. And Nigel is like, whatever, bill me, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bill the whole villa though. Like, $9,000. I feel like off to a normal start. This is not like that unusual for 200
no
people.
Yeah. No, and only half of the people have kissed because Jawahir yeah kissed twice. A queen, an icon.
Here we go.
So Jawahir apologizes to Nick about the kiss with Seb and saying that she really does like him and wants to get to know him. The kiss with Seb was just for fun and she wants to get to know him more. And he says that he doesn't play games because he knows his worth, and they decide that they are going to try to make a relationship.
Yeah, good for them. I feel like this should have like been an easy sort out, and luckily it was.
Yes. Kayla, on the other hand, finds out from Dominique what Nigel had said after the date and is like, well, if Nigel's playing games, I'm playing games too. She is a petty queen, and she just climbs into bed with Seb without saying anything in front of Nigel.
Yeah. Kayla's very quick like that, where if you cross her, she's moving on to the next thing or escalating the next thing. One of the two. It's mm-hmm going to happen every time.
She has options.
People's base level on Too Hot to Handle should be playing games. Like, you should not be coming in here and like thinking like right off the bat, I'm falling in love or I'm taking this seriously for the money. Like, play games, have fun. That's Too Hot to Handle. Why are you on the show?
It's also too early to do anything but play games, right? If it's been 2 days and I have maybe even a small percent, like 5% chance, I've thought, you know what, maybe I should, you know, do better. Maybe I should find love. And someone's double dipping and then making me like look stupid. Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, that was a stupid idea. Let me do my own thing now. Let me just go back to what I do best. So I think Kayla 100% had the right reaction here, honestly. Because yes, if Nigel's gonna have fun, Kayla's gotta have fun too.
I loved it. I was like, she is an icon. She is everything to me. Like, this moment was just so good. And I really want to make sure that even though it was in the second episode of the first batch, it gets its due. Because I want anyone going on Too Hot to Handle to have this mindset of, if people fuck with you, you're fucking with them.
Yeah, it set the trend for the season. It's not the first time, the last time we're going to see people switching beds.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much. The next episode starts, and, you know, people had a good night. Nigel's very upset that Kayla would choose Seb over him. And James is literally asking about rule breaks and counting the condoms. It's so, like, why?
Unhinged. This is unhinged behavior. If you're playing, like, condom wrapper detective, you've gone too far. Check yourself.
I also feel like maybe the people on this cast are not all necessarily going to be the ones to use protection.
Yeah, it doesn't actually prove anything. Just because seven are there.
Listen, not to make emergent strategy here, but if you are going to, quote, use a condom to actually use a condom to have sex. Why am I trying to like mask this?
If you're you can just say sex, it. It's
if
fine.
If you're trying to go penne in this house, okay, what you should do is open 9 condoms and put the wrappers there. So a detective like James will go looking and be like, my God, someone's like, people have been doing it. There's been 9 condoms. And then when it comes out, you've had sex once, it's not so bad. Once there were 9 condom wrappers.
I like the strategy.
Yeah, this is the emergent strategy for Too Hot to Handle, and I love it.
Yeah, that's the move.
Or just whatever, have sex 9 times. Who cares?
I mean, they will owe money. If given the exchange rate here, they will owe big money at that point.
They'll give it back.
They don't have to pay Lana back for the money. So I think the emergent gameplay is you go in, you pick your person, you have a like 24-hour penne fest, and then there's no money left in the pool, and then Lana will be like, okay, well, you have the chance to go into the hideaway, and if you don't do anything, you'll get all of the money back. You go in, you get the money back, you got laid, you got paid, you win.
I think if you spend all the prize money, right? Let's say you go on, you're Seb, you've spent 200 grand worth. You should have to come into the next season as like the house pool boy, and you can't get it in with anyone, but you have to work off your debt by being in the next season without sleeping with anyone.
You have to work off your debt by being the next host of the show.
Exactly.
Encouraging all these influencers with more screen time.
Like, yeah. Scally, this works exactly to what you want. You want it to be more messy, right? People are going to be coming in and doing all the madness to try and be on the next season.
It's true.
I can't imagine anything more humiliating than having to like pay off your debt to Netflix.
It's only humiliating if you have shame. And I don't think they have shame.
You're right. This is the cast of Too Hot to Handle. Yes. Great. Great call. Nigel goes to Kayla asking for an apology, and she instantly is like, no, I know what you said to Dominique. And Nigel's response is, that's hearsay. You are not in a court of law, Nigel.
The gaslight gatekeep guy boss in the situation, I guess. Yeah,
there's no such thing as a guy boss.
I don't know. I think Nigel was trying, so
he was trying.
Very much was just like no, and really had like no leg to stand on. Obviously,
he goes full shaggy. Wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly. Deny.
Which I mean, I guess works if you're not actually trying to date someone. Because if you're trying to date them and then you lie and then it comes out on the show, it's not going to go over.
Here's
well.
The thing. I'm okay with him trying to be like, it's hearsay. Okay, you cannot face the facts of what you did. That's fine. That's cool. Lie, whatever. What I'm not okay with is then turning it on her and be like, you know, I guess you didn't appreciate our date so much. Shut up. Like at this stop. You peed on that date by holding hands within 20 minutes. Are you joking me? Don't act like this. Like, this is worse. I'd rather you lie and move on than lie and then turn it on her for no reason. Come on.
Well, but he has to turn it on her so that it's not on him anymore.
Objection. Overruled. Sustained.
Literally. Like, you're leading the witness.
Order in the court.
Yeah. And not literally, he's like, well, sorry, I just can't help myself with beautiful women around. So if I made you feel some type of way, I apologize. He never said sorry. And Kayla's like in confessional, I think that means he'll fight for me.
Listen.
It hurt. It hurt to see that.
What I've learned through putting myself through 4 seasons of this show is that the bar is in hell where all the horny devils live. You literally can not say I'm sorry and still gain the thought that you've not only apologized, but you banner planed, you went the whole nine yards on the apology. He legitimately said, if you felt some type of way, I could say I apologize. That is not I'm sorry. That is not.
That is not an apology. See, saying I apologize is not the same as apologizing. I'm sorry. I know it technically is, but no, you have to say sorry.
I thought that Nigel was getting away from getting away with this. Even like at the beginning of the episode, you see him and Dominique in bed, but she says like, no, he's in the doghouse. This was only by default that we ended up here. She's even looking at Lana, trying to see if she has a vibration mode on her. So I think she's moving on. Everyone's moving on.
When she said that about Lana having a vibration mode, I just about fell out of bed. I was like, absolutely not.
Well, instead of Nigel.
we get a whole like scene of just everyone saying how horny and how horny they are and how swollen their balls are for like 5 minutes. It was too long. Because even one moment like that is too many. But it's okay because they have their first workshop, which is to refocus their sexual energy. Relationship expert Shan Boodram is back. She's been here every season. And she is going to teach them how to channel energy to make real connections. So I guess the point of this is to get yourself really horny, painting each other with paint, and then like use your bodies to paint canvas, and that is supposed to make you not horny anymore. What did you think of that, Puya?
Yeah, this exercise makes no sense. If anything, it's going to make it worse. Now, my question to you is, do you think Shan used up all the prize money on another show and now she's just had to work her debt off on this show for four seasons straight?
I think we know if she was on a different show.
You know, I kid, but no, seriously, if the exercise is you're all too horny, rubbing up on each other with paint does not seem like the right move here.
She's like, okay, I need you to get your arousal to a fever pitch, and then you're going to climax on the canvas. And I'm like, whoa, no, ma'am.
Are we using paint at that point?
She says the goal is to climax on the canvas, and I got to admit, I don't understand. Everyone is moaning all weird except Britton and James, where James is like, pass me the blue. Oh, we need to make the best this painting was ever.
So freaking funny when James is like, wow, this looks really pretty.
And Britton is like, please grab my ass. Like, yeah, just please.
Look at me. Please look at me.
He's like grinding on him, and he's like, you're grinding on me. And she's like, why are you saying that like it's a bad thing? He's like, don't do that. It's against the rules.
Yeah, I think people like Netflix knows what they're doing, obviously, just making it harder for them. I feel like people took quite a bit of this very literally and were doing things on the campus for sure.
There was definitely, I think there were probably some rule breaks, but I guess Lana wasn't watching.
It don't count when it's in the middle of the activity, right? And clothing is
well,
on.
Well, then new emergent strategy of too hot to handle. Just have an orgy during the challenge.
I mean, we were close.
Or if, Levi Lovin.
Levi? No.
I think that would get... Listen, we're talking emergent strategy. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying that you could get away with it.
I mean, maybe. It's not impossible.
I think some people may have tried to get away with it from some of the gratuitous shots that were being shown.
Yeah, I do. I do think some people maybe were trying to get away with it.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot.
Oh. All right. Where are you looking at content, Scally? What are you doing?
I don't want to know where Scally is online.
Chill.
Okay, so the challenge works for, like, I guess everyone, but Britton is still, like, losing it. And James is still focused only on the rules. He wants to protect the money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this whole show changed for James the minute they put money on it, which, again, we're four seasons in. I feel like it's important to remember 200K divided by like 20, like one person winning some of it. And, you know, people are going to do stuff. Not worth it. This is where you get your social media up. This is where you get your buzz up. This is where you get other appearances for other shows. James playing the neighborhood like watch. I don't know if that's the best strategy here.
This is like, I saw a TikTok this weekend of like, what would it be like if a normal person was on Too Hot to Handle? And they're like, everyone, pull up your baggy sweatpants. Boys, put on a hoodie. I left one on everybody's bed. This is for money. And I feel like James is as close to like a regular person being on this show as we've ever gotten.
Honestly, it's annoying. Like, even in real life, this would be annoying, let alone like you're on a reality show and like clearly these people do not care about the money. You're not going to win if you're in this position, especially like, let alone, you know, 200,000 divided by X number of people. Only one or two people are going to win. And if you are playing this role, it's not you.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. It's so sad. This is also where we find out that Sophie and Creed like each other. Which is such a weird combination to me. I was like, I'm so glad this faded quickly because I was like, this makes no sense to me at all.
Why? Tell us why it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I just feel like the two of them standing next to each other, they just don't seem like a couple to me.
Okay, the thing is that I actually wasn't mad at this coupling, but I knew it was not meant to last when Creed opens with, yeah, I'm looking around and I think Sophie's my best chance of getting something going in here. And I was like, that is not, I'm in love with Sophie. It is, there are no other options and I have exhausted them to get to this point.
Yeah, best shot for a good time does not translate to, I could really see something develop here.
Okay, you know what? Very true. I do like that they immediately kiss when the rates have just doubled. So like, well, I don't know.
You know what? I think they're right. Everyone else has spent money. Why not us? I don't care if it, you know, it's just them looking for their shot at a good time.
Yeah. The move is you want to wait for a couple people to do it first. Then whatever the rate is, you can do it. Cause then what are they going to do? Get mad at you for doing something they've already done. Also, the rates will only go up. They will never come down. So you might as well get it now. True. Before it goes very even higher.
I did actually think this montage with James, like going room to room, checking on everyone was pretty funny because not only did he totally miss Creed and Sophie kissing, he also missed Seb and Kayla making out in the bedroom by like 2 seconds. And he's like, well, I've seen everything. Nobody's done anything when there are 2 kisses. And then Kayla and Seb have a shower together.
Listen. Correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm rarely wrong. When you walk into a room and 2 people were making out like seconds before, you can feel that energy in that room, right? Like, I'm not stupid for thinking this.
I think that there's definitely something there of like, you would definitely feel like the electricity between Seb and Kayla. But I think they just always have this tension between them that it's probably hard to tell if they've actually acted on it or not.
I mean, it seems like James has put up such a wall in like Britain sending out all of her energy and he has completely ignored it that maybe he's just immune at this point. Like the tolerance is built up.
Which is not great if you're, you know, the chief of the sex police at the Too Hot to Handle resort.
He's the sheriff, the sex sheriff. It's so bad. So Kayla and Seb shower together. We don't see what happens, but we do see rule break flash across our screen. What did you think happened, Scally, when the rule break popped up?
I thought that there was probably like they were really testing the limits of like, oh, this shower, you can just see like vague shadows. They won't know. And obviously they're not getting away with the heavy petting that might have been going on.
Not heavy petting.
Yeah, I thought there was some equipment usage that occurred thought.
Equipment usage.
Handling of equipment, rather.
I was like, this is such a flash of a moment. Like, I was like, I hope this is worth it. And it really didn't seem like it was. But I don't know. So we get a Lana meeting. Creed and Sophie cost $6,000 to everyone for their one kiss. And Kayla and Seb lose $18,000, which is for a kiss in the shower, a kiss in the bed, and touching a nude male appendage, which means that if you touch someone's penis, it costs the same as a kiss.
Which that seems one-sided, right? I feel like a kiss is more mutually beneficial.
Yes. Maybe? I think so 100%. And especially since it doesn't even seem like I don't think anyone got like jerked off. I think that it was just like a touch.
She loofahed his dick. Can we talk about this?
Jolly was horrified by that.
This is insanity. This is like
his penis.
An erect penis with a loofah touching it is not a good sensation. I'm just going to say that.
I'm going to have to take you at your word on this one.
It's not the move. You know, I was like, I don't know if that was the move, Chief. Like, maybe a couple more kisses over that. Seriously.
I mean, I think definitely kisses over that, or also like any actual sexual contact.
The fine sounds like the male appendage being touched. It was the same fine for loofah versus hand. So maybe just not loofah it anymore.
Yeah. Seb should have wanted to be paid $6,000 to have this happen.
Yeah, he needs it for his medical bills.
So.
I don't know. But this results in Seb and Kayla being noted as the most spendy of our, what do we call it? The Islanders? The two hot to handlers? I don't know.
The hotties.
Yeah, like, okay, they're the two hotties that have spent the most money. And so they get tested for one night in the suite. And the rest of the hotties get the option that you can just pay $10,000 and it will cover everything Seb and Kayla do for the night. But if you put faith in them and they do anything, you will have to pay for every single act that they do.
I like this twist. I thought it was a fun twist to throw in where you can basically bet 10 flat and either they go over the limit and you're like, whew, okay, we dodged a bullet there, or the unlikely outcome of they do nothing after having spent 18K and you're annoyed now because you bet 10, but you can't be mad at them.
I was floored at how much the others were like, no, we have to put faith in them.
So here's my thing, is in other seasons, it's been like if they've already seen it, whether production made them watch it or whatever, since they all know who Lana is, apparently in other seasons, when they go in the suite, they have the chance to earn the money that they've lost back. So I'm thinking if we've all had to watch this, maybe they're thinking that. What I like about this is now, whether it be later this season, future seasons, people might think, oh, well, they're not going to trust us and they're going to spend the $10,000 anyway. We might as well do everything. And then they lose $100,000 in the suite in one night.
I love your vision, Scally. I love your vision. We do get a couple of clips of the suite before the episode ends. And I was very horrified. I was like, Kayla is literally wearing a thong with like a sports bra. It's such a, like, is that sexy? I don't understand. It felt like a weird combo.
I don't think that's a bad combo.
I felt like she had like bottom half lingerie, top half ready to work out.
It was not the most offensive outfit worn in the suite, to say the least, when we get the montage.
Okay, like, especially true.
Think of it this way, right? 3 days of nothing. 3 days of being suppressing your sexual feelings. I don't think that's going to stop anybody.
Well, I don't think it should stop anybody. I found it very weird. I feel like a lot of times the women on the show bring like really sexy pajamas and lingerie.
So you wanted a commitment. You wanted to either go full cash or go full sexy.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
Why are you doing half and half? I don't know. We go into the next episode. And we immediately find out that Nigel was having dreams about Seb and Kayla getting intimate in the hideaway. Very weird. And we find out that Kayla and Seb were having fun and being kinky in the suite. And it was a very hot night.
Oh.
They got me with this.
Yeah.
Got me with this. I got fooled. I thought they hooked up. Because especially when they come back out for the ceremony, and Dominique is like, oh, wow, they literally smell like sex. Like, I know they did it. And I was like, oh, my God, that's fucking disgusting.
I thought they were going to, but at this point, I started to think maybe not.
Okay, king of reading the edit.
For me, I wasn't sure, but I think the move either way is you bet the 10K. I feel like losing 10K is not that bad in the grand scheme of things, where you could lose 40K plus, depending on what happens.
Yeah, I think it's very important not to be results oriented here. Yeah, they made the wrong slips. Decision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. But so we find out in this meeting that a full coitus would cost $40,000.
Okay, can we talk about that real quick?
Yes.
So full coitus, or full penne, if you will, is 40K. Does that mean that anything else that could count as a side money, so like the touching of a male appendage, kissing, all of that's built in into the 40K, correct?
So I do think that's normally how it has played out, where if you do like one of the bigger ticket items, you get like the other stuff included in the price.
Yeah, it's all
like, I feel like we've seen that with like people that do like, they don't go all the way, but they basically go all the way.
All see, I don't know.
Included. But they also, it's Netflix, so they could change the rules season by season. But we have in the past seen where they just get charged for like the blowjob or whatever.
Where's the line? Because you get charged for both the kissing and the loofah job, but everything else.
My theory on that is that because the loofah moment costs the same as a kiss, that it's the same as just kissing a bunch of times. I think if she had actually given him a handy J, they wouldn't have gotten charged for the kisses.
We need to decide if we can just say things, or we're going to skirt around saying things, because we have said handy J, but we've dropped F-bombs. We've said loofah job. We've said handling. We need to decide as a team.
I think it's funnier if we just say what feels right in the moment.
Handy J is a great DJ name, too, if anyone out there is not trying to dabble in music. DJ,
I mean, I've got to tell you, if I was talking about this in my real life, I'd probably call it a handy J.
Oh, really?
Well, because I also think that it's insane this is my personal opinion on hand jobs. I think it's insane if a man ever asks a woman to give them a hand job, because they already have that on lock. They could do that better than a woman ever could. They shouldn't be asking for it.
Well, there you go.
So learn something new here, folks.
Does that not make sense?
And that concludes Kirsten's take on handy J.
Oh my God, put me in jail. So we find out that there are new arrivals, and they've each chosen a hottie to go on a date.
We really just skipped right over the fact that they had, I couldn't believe they showed on Netflix, Seb full helicoptering with just bubbles.
Yeah, I didn't want to remember that. I gotta tell you, Scally, I did not put that in my notes, because I didn't want to ever think about it again. Yeah, so we did get a montage of them in the private suite. They like had a full bubble bath together. They were fully naked. They were all over each other. I'm truly shocked that none of what they did cost any money.
Yeah, I was surprised. There was a lot of bumping and grinding going on here.
Not bumping and grinding. Oh, but no heavy petting. That's why they didn't get charged there any money. Okay, so our new arrivals come in. Ethan has asked Sophie out on a date, and he has her usual type, tall with dark hair and tattoos. And Flavia will go out with Seb. And Seb says his normal type is Hispanic, which there's a lot to unpack there.
Not great.
Okay, Seb.
Yeah, I don't know. Not great. Did you think that either of these, you know, dates were going to end in a kiss? Now that we know that they get a free kiss, what do you think was going to go down?
I was hopeful that there would be a kiss, but I had a feeling after the suite, Seb wouldn't be the one to do it. I love bringing in new people, and they know they are on Too Hot to Handle, and they know they have a free kiss. I think that's a lot more fun than sending them on a date and they have to find out on the date that they're on Too Hot to Handle and they can't do anything.
I think, I agree. I like this twist. Here's the addendum. If the kiss isn't redeemed on that date, they should be allowed to hold on to that free kiss for the rest of that day when they mingle with the other hotties. I think that should be the move, because you're telling me that someone like James, the sex cop, wouldn't take a free kiss because it's free. And then maybe that unravels him a little bit. That could be exciting.
Not James kissing someone just because there's a coupon.
Listen, he doesn't have the coupon, but if someone brings the coupon to him, he might be like, all right, you can redeem it at this counter.
He would be like, let me check the terms and conditions. Let me call head office to confirm that this is in fact a valid free kiss.
He's frugal.
It's the situation like on Extreme Couponing when at the end the store owes you money. That's what James wants from Too Hot to Handle.
So if I kiss you, we get 3,000 in the pot. Is that what you're telling me? No, then no kiss.
Literally. So both of these dates come back into the villa. Ethan and Sophie come in like arm in arm, and Seb and Flavia come in holding hands. We do find out that Ethan has a horrible tiger tattoo on his back. Gotta pay attention to the bad tattoos on this show.
Girls were loving it, though, both on the date and back in the villa. Everyone immediately, Ethan, take your shirt off.
It's actually, there was someone when I was a resident advisor, there was an RA where everyone would be like, take your shirt off, because they knew he had really good abs and it made him very uncomfortable. Somehow, I don't think RA? Ethan has the same problem. Well, like the other RAs were telling the RA, like, take off your shirt.
Well, that's less bad than the non-RA saying it, I suppose.
Well, yeah, but it made him uncomfortable. Ethan seems fine with being so, able to take off the shirt.
In the midst of all this dating stuff, Kayla's losing her marbles that, you know, this isn't going to go well. And then when they came back hand in hand, she started crying. I was like, I don't think you should do that until, first of all, you don't know him that well. He's not worth it. OK, that's first. Second of all, maybe talk and see what happened first, because, you know, again, nothing could have happened. You don't know.
No, but
holding hands for holding hands. The production could have said hold hands.
It's so disrespectful.
I'm sure that production said hold hands. I mean, Kayla is 22. I'm sure that this was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sure that this is fully just like insecurity and not actually like this is so disrespectful, because I feel like as soon as she gets confirmation, like everything's all fine. It's not like, well, how dare I'm still mad at you for doing that. It's just like, OK, well, holding hands could mean more, and this could mean, and I'm going to get left. And that's why, like, she's crying ultimately here.
That's a very good point. I forgot that they put practically children on this show.
Yep. Every year that passes, their ages stay the same and mine doesn't. And I start realizing, oh, yeah, what it was like to be 22.
When I was 22, it was nothing like Too Hot to Handle, but.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
You go,
good job. Mine was very much too cold to handle.
Not that. Oh no. We also find out that so Flavia is like, okay, it seems like Seb and Kayla might be solid. So I've got my eye on Creed, and there's a weird scene in the bathroom where she's like getting ready for bed in like her like sexy pajamas, and he's just like looking at her. It was one of the weirdest scenes I've seen on television, I think.
I don't know. I mean, this is a show where men were standing guard while another one of them gives themselves a handy J. So
right.
I think
you're
that right. You've seen worse.
Yeah. Two good looking people like locking eyes and swapping stares in the bathroom is far from the weirdest thing we've seen on this show.
Well, first of all, I don't think Creed is good looking. Second of all, it was just weirdly filmed. I don't know. And then it moves into the last episode of the Batch. And I feel like this is where now it's like, okay, we're in the present day. And basically they set the temperature at the start with Britain is still so horny and people are joking that the next rule break is going to be her relieving herself because James won't do anything for her.
Honestly, I'd believe it. Like, I would be less surprised than, like, if she and James were to even make out at this point, that would be more surprising.
Yeah, listen, James, you like numbers. You're a numbers guy. You're protecting the pot, right? Either we lose money together or I lose that same money solo and you don't get to be a part of it. Which one would you rather? You're still the cause of both.
I think that he would pick her doing it on her own so that he can hold it over her head and be angry at her about
it. He is stupid. So there you go.
Well, I think she might be losing that money with Ethan potentially coming up. So
Yes, I do see that on the horizon as well, Scally. Kayla and Flavia have a little chat, and Flavia says she believes in girl code, and so she's not going to try anything with Seb. And instead, I guess she's going for Creed, even though Creed also has a thing going. So it's only girl code with Kayla, no girl code for Sophie.
Yeah. So apparently, I read about this on the Reddit. Apparently, Flavia is quite famous already. She has like over a million Instagram followers at least.
Yes.
I believe she won the Latinx like influencer of the year at People's Choice Awards. Yeah. So she's quite famous already. Apparently this girl code joke is like an inside reference to some other thing that she's had in the media. But yeah, Flavia is coming in here as an influencer. Like, I think that she is, you know, knows what she's doing on reality TV.
Okay, queen. Yeah, she has 4.7 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, like, the next highest when I was looking was, like, 34,000, so.
Who was that?
I believe that Britain might have been the highest.
I think Britain and Dominique like have 100. A decent amount.
Yeah.
So. Wow. Yeah, okay, Flavia, well, that makes famous. A lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense. Thanks for doing the research, Scally.
Always can count on me for that.
Yeah, we love to see it. We also find out that Ethan is into Britain, which is, you know, what Scally is already queued up. I'm open to it. I actually really like Britain. I feel like she hasn't had that much content because James is not willing to play ball, but I feel like she's engaging in the diary room and confessionals, and I don't know, she's pretty and she seems nice. Like I'd be happy to see her like have some kind of relationship on the show.
Yeah, I think she's fun. I think that she's kind of gotten screwed in forming a connection with James. So she's not like ultimately getting that much screen time when all of his screen time is going to like cock blocking. I think that she could be better on the show if she has someone to play off of.
100%. This is where we also get more of the Kayla and Seb story. So Kayla is still jealous and she wants to solidify that Seb is her man. So she gets him hard and then leads him to the bathroom and they hook up in the shower. And based on the fact that it cut to them brushing their teeth, I thought it was going to be like an oral situation.
Well, they had a weird like moment where the voiceover person was like, well, let's see what could they have done. And then it's Kayla spitting into the sink. She's like, oh, that answers it. I was like, I didn't. What?
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, it was a blowjob, but it wasn't. They had full sex so that she could claim him and that and this was for a good cause, so no one could get mad.
The full intercourse to reassure each other that they actually liked each other.
That's gonna end well, right?
In Surely. The shower for shower sex. They lost $50,000.
So it wasn't. See, the going rate was 40. Yeah. They lost 50.
So I guess they got charged for other stuff as well. I don't know. The rules of the show and the prices change every single season.
Maybe they bought in bulk.
Oh no! Do you think it's like 40,000 for the first, and then 10,000 for every subsequent?
Buy one, get one 75% off.
Yeah. So. Everyone is very mad, especially James, because he doesn't want to lose any more money. And I think it is so funny that James thinks there's even a chance that he would get paid at all.
At this point, if I had trust in my hotties, my fellow hotties, to not break the rules and someone just spent 50K and they had spent 18 the day prior, I'm going to stop caring. I'm like, all right, it's my time. I've been the most holier than thou person here. So no one can get mad at me. I broke at the hands of the people. Britain, let's go talk more because I actually do like you and I've only been holding back because of this.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Seb and Kayla are gonna spend it. The money's there. Like, get to it first. That's where you're at this point. They are showing 100%. No intentions of slowing down. They're not changing. It doesn't matter.
And again, we've talked about this. We've talked about how the mechanics of the show goes. At the end, the person that wins the money is one of the people that has shown the most change, the most restraint, the most growth. And the person who from the first episode goes, nope, I'm not going to hook up with anybody because I'm trying to keep the money is never in the running. You know who's in the running? Seb's in the running. You know who's in the running? Kayla's in the running. Even though they've spent the most, they stand to get it the most. So this is the wrong move for this show, James.
Yeah, he does not understand the show that he's on at all if he thinks that he has a chance of getting any money. It's a little embarrassing for him, but that's okay. Speaking of Puya's strategy for this, Jollier instantly is like, well, there's like no money left, so I'm going to break the rules now too. Like, screw it.
Good for her. Should have been doing it all along anyway.
Queen behavior. She's been wanting to break the rules anyways.
She has a couple times. She's not innocent here.
Well, yeah, but like, she has at every point been like, I will break the rules and I will break the rules more. Like, I don't care.
I do think that she and Nick are in line to potentially win as well. I think those are our four front runners.
I think they need to hook up a little bit more to be in the running. But
I think Sophie is also a like outside looking in person.
If Sophie can last the season, we'll see.
We shall.
Yeah, it's a very weird. I don't know. But, you know, it could happen. Weirder things have happened.
Indeed. the understatement of the century on the show.
Oh, no, not the understatement of the century. So they all go to bed that night and there are rule breaks during the night. And I think it's more than just Joey here and Nick.
Yeah. I feel like everyone's fed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you see a couple people spend 70K almost, you start realizing, listen, it's a harmless if I spend 3K. Like it'll never amount to how much everyone else has spent or other people have spent. Mm-hmm. So why not? We've been holding back. Let's not hold back. It's 1500 a piece. If we just share a little kissy kiss, then good.
Yeah. Why not? Flavia decides that she is all in on Creed and goes to him to like talk about his hair. And he's like, yeah, I don't even use hair gel. Like my hair just falls like this. Horrifying Creed. To me because I feel like his hair looks like he has a lot of gel in it, which to me indicates that it is not clean.
You think it's the I don't wash it tactic.
If he does, he doesn't like wash it enough or like he doesn't double cleanse or something. I don't know.
Very I think bizarre. It's fine. Maybe he's in a transitional period. He's trying to get to the only washing twice a week phase.
He's like on Lizzie McGuire when he's like, you know, when it says rinse and repeat, I don't repeat.
King.
That's what he's like.
Got that Richie Rich hair Creed does.
Oh, it's so bizarre. But Creed is so excited that Flavia likes him and he literally cries and he's like, don't worry, Sophie is just a friend and I'm going to go talk to her about it. Oh, man.
The man goes running to Sophie. He could not end this faster.
He wants to break up with her on the spot, which I honestly do respect. I feel like he could have just kissed Flavia right then and there. And he chose to break things off with Sophie first, which is like some pretty good integrity there.
I think if there's no rules about money, he's kissing Flavia there.
Yeah.
Okay, true. Very fair.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? She literally had a date with another man yesterday, opted to not go for a free kiss to show her loyalty to him. I feel like we're giving him too much credit by being like, he didn't kiss her right then and there. He went to talk to her first. He wasted no time. Like his hands weren't dry yet. You know what I mean? He ran over, hugged her and basically said, you know, everything's said and done. I want to at least be friends with you. Awful way to deliver this. You're kind of breaking the news out of nowhere. And you're basically saying, yeah, I feel like I have a romantic chance with Flavia. You don't even know her. You haven't met her yet. So for me, if anything, this is worse. This is worse because this comes off more so like, yeah, you don't even find me romantically attractive. Whereas a kiss could at least be like, oh, he's a dumb, naive boy who like kissed. That's pretty shitty. I think this is worse. This is more emotionally damaging, I feel like.
I think the way he breaks up with her is very mean. I want to be very clear. I don't want to give Creed any kind of credit.
It sounds like you're giving him a lot of credit.
I just was surprised that he didn't just kiss Flavia then and there.
Sounds like you're high on the Creed weed.
No, person. I am absolutely not. How dare you? Yuck. I've been clear from the get-go about this man that I do not like him.
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, that's what it is his biggest sin is that, like, he runs to Sophie and it's just like so clear that he was never actually interested in her, like, remotely. It's not, it would have been so much better for him to just be like getting to know the both of them at the same time. But no, it's like, oh, finally I'm rid of Sophie and can be with Flavia.
Very weird. And especially this really punches hard because this scene happens right after a confessional of Sophie saying, like, I can see a future with him. Like, I really think that this could, something could happen here. And then she instantly gets dumped.
Yeah, just don't ever say you could see a future with anyone on Too Hot to Handle. Unless we're like campaigning for the win, don't say it.
Unless you're on episode 8. I feel like episode 8 is when you can start saying that, but episode 5 is way too early.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, she started off this season being like, I don't even want someone in my bed the next morning. And now she's like, I can see a future with Creed. Stand up, girl. But she calls him mean and she gets really mad and she cries to Kaylin Zhao here and talks about how she doesn't even want to be here anymore. But she still doesn't leave.
Not yet, at least.
I think she would have left if that right then and there. I don't think she's leaving.
I agree. I think she would have. I think she maybe will get eliminated because she doesn't have someone. But if she was going to quit, I think she would have walked out right then and there.
The way she stormed in and out of that bedroom at the end of this episode, like, I don't know that, like, usually I would say, sure, like, you can leave that in there. But I think things might be building for Sophie.
I think she's going to get more mad.
That's what I'm saying. And I feel like, all right, I literally cannot do this any longer. And especially, like, maybe someone enters the suite or like the hideaway, the villa, whatever you want to call it. And like she sees a chance. But I think if no one comes in that she sees any type of opportunity with, we might be losing Sophie here.
There is a chance. I do think that there is also some theories that Sophie's going to get kicked off.
Ooh.
Which is
we think Sophie might be getting physical and not in the type that's going to lose you money, but your spot on the show.
I don't think
that's what will happen.
I believe in Sophie.
We'll see.
But we'll find out what happens with her. Everyone has to go to a workshop. Relationship expert Brendan Durrell is back again. I love that they keep introducing these people to us as if they are well-known relationship experts that we should definitely recognize.
Yeah, and not like the sound guy that happened to be on set today.
I love, oh my God, a Reddit post from the Too Hot to Handle subreddit in January. Brendan Durrell is a clown. How did this guy get hired for his scammy workshops? And how much is he getting paid?
I think that that's why he was hired, because probably not getting paid that much.
Yeah, he's certainly not getting paid.
He got comped a room and a free trip for like a week. And like
he auditioned for the show and they said, how about this role?
I think they keep him as a prisoner.
He's paying off his debt. We've talked about this. He was on another show.
Because he's on every season. And so we've talked a lot about the workshops that Brendan does. He's done a lot of like throwing things into the ocean, lighting things on fire. And I know Sasha in particular has been like, these are so like basic workshops. Like, can't they do anything else? And I did feel like this workshop was like a little different. They write words that represent their past behavior on punching bags and then they break the punching bag. So you get some physical aggression out.
It's the same thing as every time. It's just like putting new makeup on.
You just punch it instead of lighting it on fire this time.
Yeah. So whatever. I mean, I do enjoy that like Nigel couldn't even wait to write anything on the bag and just punches it immediately.
He's like, I have no baggage. I'm just excited to punch things.
Just a bunch of bros like, being dudes.
Being too excited to punch things is baggage in my book.
I agree completely. Britton writes lack of physical affection on James's punching bag before he punches it. And James acts like, what the hell? I don't even understand. And it's like, James, you didn't notice that she's been literally begging you for any sort of physical affection?
Yeah. He's like, she could have brought it up outside of here. And it's like, I feel like she kind of has.
He's like, but spooning leads to forking. We can't. I could see him saying that non-ironically.
But the thing is, I think that she wants it to lead to forking. Like, she knows. She knows what it leads to.
She does want that. But, like, you also could do it without it leading. I don't know. I just feel like you need some kind of physical intimacy, whether that's, like, sexual or not. I feel like it does help with creating a bond. I don't know. I almost cried at Jawahir's section because she talks about her abandonment issues from being adopted and how scared she is of being vulnerable. And I was like, oh my God, this is a real moment on the show.
Yeah. It's rare we get one of these, but Jawahir definitely coming in. One of the best characters on the show for sure.
100%. She's wonderful. Seb makes a comment about he finally can respect a girl now that he's with Kayla, which I found I just think Seb is made of walking red flags.
Yeah. Seb, what'd you learn at Do What to Handle? I learned that I can respect one girl in the whole world as long as I'm in love with her. No other girls, but that one in particular.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird vibe and I don't care for it.
Let's see. How old is Seb? Seb is 24. So,
it's still pretty early to start respecting women. I agree. are you kidding me?
I was trying to figure out exactly like how awful this was. Are we getting even worse at like Seb being 29? But
God, yeah, you know what? You're right. It would only get worse and worse the older he was.
Worse and worse. Yeah.
It's not getting better.
Is this a 9.8 or a 9.9? How bad?
Yeah, really not good. And like the fact that he felt comfortable saying that on camera, I'm like, oh my God, how does he act when there's not a camera around?
Well, that's the thing, is he would, if you like confronted him about this or like replayed the clip, like what? Like, what's the problem?
He's like, I said, I respect women. What's the problem?
I respect one woman.
So messed up. Oh my God. James is very upset because trying to follow the rules messed things up with Britain. But while he's getting upset about that, Ethan is talking to her about how he wants her in his bed. And she's like, yes, I want that too.
Yeah, I thought we were to get this. I thought we would see even more fallout from this. But
I do love that on this season, they're just like, nope, I'm just going to get into the bed that I want to get in without talking to the person I've been sleeping with up to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this. Everyone's being petty by rearranging beds all season.
I love it. So we get that Creed and Flavia are going to sleep together. Ethan and Britton are going to sleep together. Sophie goes to sleep in another room and she is very embarrassed and angry. And James says, again, non-ironically, for the second time this season, someone says, ugh, nice guys finish last.
Ugh.
What have you done that's nice, James? What have you done that's nice?
Well, I decided to not touch anybody or kiss, so I feel like everyone should respect my decision and also be the same. Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop embarrassing. You stop humiliating yourself on national TV. You are doing it wrong. If you're going to do the... Okay, here's the thing. Okay. The hello, nice guys of the world. It's me, Puya. If you do things that are nice, but then expect the world to open up and give you everything because you are doing, quote, the nice thing, you're not doing the nice thing. You're doing it for other reasons, and that is not nice, okay? So stop it. Stop it. James, put your holster your fedora, please, and we'll see you on r/niceguys on Reddit when you're done this season.
Yeah, also think people that are genuinely nice don't have to say things like, oh, nice guys always finish last.
Yep. Do you think there's any hope for James and Britton, or is she fully moved on?
I think that James is probably going to get eliminated from the show soon.
That's what I feel like is going to happen. I think if anyone's getting eliminated, it's him, because the best case scenario is the next morning he talks to Britton. And he's like, hey, you know, I wanted to talk about this thing. I really want to try. Like, I think if he talks to her immediately, he can. But if he, like, doesn't and he plays petty, I think Ethan's moving in. And then I don't think there's any chance for them to reconcile.
Yeah, I think they would send, Soph and James will then be the only ones not in a relationship. And so they could easily get sent home.
Sophie James and his reverse rat tail.
Oh, yuck. Not a reverse.
Would you rather James's reverse rat tail or Creed's hair, Kirsten?
Oh,
you have to pick one. You have to pick one.
I guess Creed's hair, but it's.
See, I told you she's high on that Creed weed.
I am not high on the Creed weed, and I don't even like his hair. I hate both of their hair, but you told me I had to pick one of them, and I can't pick the one Creed. That's called a reverse rat tail. I'm sorry.
The singular bang.
It's weird. It's a weird vibe, that one bang.
It's a lot.
I don't know. I think all these Gen Zs are doing like what we did in high school, and I'm like, no, but we've moved past this as society. Like, you don't have to make these mistakes. We've already made them for you. And then they're like, no, we want to do it too. I'm like, okay, fine. Have at it. So that's the end of the episode. The end of the batch. The next batch is going to have more new arrivals, more rule breaks, and there's going to be eliminations. Puya, do you have any predictions for what is going to happen in the next batch? Who do you think will win?
Okay, so I don't really have any predictions that we've not already spoken about. I feel like Ethan's going to be a mainstay. I think Flavia is going to be a mainstay. I think they're both like newcomers, but they're going to make it far. I have a feeling this has Kayla winning written all over it currently. Mm-hmm. But we'll see where that goes from here. I don't think Seb's winning at all. And yeah, that's where I'm at with it. It's been a fun 5 episodes, but we'll see if the season can carry on.
Yes, I agree. Skelly, what about you? Do you have any predictions?
All right. I think we are getting Jawa here and Nick as a winning duo. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm leaning right now. I think that Flavia is going to ditch Creed for any new boy. I think she's here to make good television, and like jumping around is going to be better. She's not winning entering this, like, you know, entering as a, what do you want to say, you know, the newbies. So I think that she is going to be just like trying to create drama, and that will be fun. But otherwise, I'm just excited to see how this season plays out.
Yes, 100%. I agree. My official prediction at this time is that I think Jawa here is going to win the season if there's only one winner. If it's a couple that wins, it will be her and Nick. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to break down the rest of it for everybody on this feed. So there will be a podcast recorded on Thursday for episodes 6 and 7, and then one over the weekend for episodes 8 through 10 to cover the season as a whole. And I'll be joined with some great guests for that. Puya and Skelly, thank you so, so much for joining me for this. Thank you for bearing with me when the internet canceled us a couple of days ago. And I guess we'll start back with Skelly. Skelly, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Oh, no, thank you for having us, first of all. But if anyone wants to hear anything from me, I'm on Twitter at Brian_Skelly. I'm talking about the challenge all season over on the Dom and Colin podcast with Matt Liguori. That's been a ton of fun. Definitely people should check it out. And then we'll be guesting on the Survivor Feedback Show this week for the finale. So that should be a good time. And I'll see people there live.
Amazing. Can't wait to listen. And Puya, where can people hear more from you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. And then they can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I have been streaming there more now with all of my shows kind of hitting the end of their journey. So you can find me there. One show that is still going on is 90 Day Fiance. I do talk about that weekly, so you can find that podcast over on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. And I have this week, I have Jason Reed coming back once again. Oh. Next week, I have the one and only Rob Cesternino joining me once more as we start seeing an end to this excruciating season. But it's been, you know, I try to make it fun. So definitely check it out.
Amazing. And yes, everyone go follow Puya and Scally. If you'd like to hear more from me, I'm over on the reality TV wrap-ups feed, recording Mess Magnets every week with Sasha Joseph, where we talk pop culture, celeb gossip, and trending topics. And also over on the main feed and this here feed, have been talking about The Real Love Boat on Paramount Plus with Jenny Autumn and Rob, which has been super fun. You can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And we will see you next time for more Too Hot to Handle. Bye.